Welcome to our worship service. Welcome to our online live streaming audience as well. Hope you guys all feel the love of Christ in this place. Are you ready to worship? You know, we'll be talking about the name of Jesus today. We come, we gather here under that banner, the name of Jesus. There's no better name, and we will be talking more about that. So let's go to him in prayer and welcome his Holy Spirit into this place. Father, we love you. We thank you that you've given us your Son, you've given us your Spirit, you've given us your Word. We pray that our hearts would be right, be made right before you, that our praises would please you. We pray that the name of Jesus would be high and lifted up. Send your Holy Spirit into this place. Father, surprise us today. Surprise us with who you are and how you love us and how big you are. We pray it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. If you rise, if you're able, as we worship.
It's good to see you this morning, church. Let's lift our voices up as one to praise our glorious Savior, Jesus Christ. No, he is a living God. He's a God of new life.
Do you see what I see? Do you see what I see? I see lightning, I hear thunder. Something stirring 6 feet under.
Possible. Do you see what
Living God. Let's give him praise this morning. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And children, come on forward this time for your children's message.
How are y'all? Now let me get untangled here. How are y'all doing? Everybody good? All right, got a few more coming up. Kind of all tangled up here. Oh, all right. Everybody have a good week? Yeah. Are you enjoying all this hot weather? Yeah. No. All right, well, so I was thinking I'd like to start a new project. I want to build something. Do you like to build things?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what do you think you could build?
A skateboard.
A skateboard, okay. A big house?
A castle.
A castle? Okay. How about, could we, I thought about building a house, but I think that'd be a pretty big project, right? How about a dog house?
Yeah,
but I don't have a dog.
I know you do.
No, how about a bird house? Do you think maybe I could build a bird house?
Yeah, I built one.
Okay, so I brought a few things with me this morning, so I thought I'd get started. So I have a hammer and a couple of boards. So what? Nails? Oh, do you think I need nails?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
What else do I need besides, if I'm missing the nails, what else might I be missing?
More boards.
More boards? What? I'm definitely probably needing more boards, yes.
A screwdriver.
A screwdriver? How about a tape measure? Do you think I might need a tape measure so I could measure my boards? Because I really want it to look pretty good, right? I don't want it to be too crooked, right? How about a saw? Do I need a saw to maybe saw the board? Yeah, so do I have everything I need? Yes, Joshua?
And also one of those things that, tells you when it's flat.
Oh, a level?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, a level would be really good. So do you think I'm ready to start building anything? Now, but I am still want to build something, but there's one thing else that I need that y'all haven't mentioned. Do you know what it is? Help? We need help? But God? Okay. How about plans? Do I need a plan on what I'm going to build? Yeah. It would be good for me to have plans and directions so I could know how to put it together. Do we have plans and direction in our life? Yeah. Do you know that God gives us plans and directions for our life? Do you know that? Do you know that they're written down? Where are they written down at?
In the Bible.
That's right. God's plans and His directions for us are written in the Bible. But if we don't read the Bible, will we know what His plan is? No. So what should we do?
Read the Bible.
Should we follow the directions? Yes, if it says to be kind, what should we do?
Kind,
that's right. If it tells us to love others, what should we do? Love others. So we are following God's plan. Is God's plan perfect for our lives? Yes, it is. God has a perfect plan for each one of you. And it says in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." God has a plan. It's the perfect plan for each one of you. And He's going to make it complete, and it's going to be just made just for you. Isn't it amazing that God has plans for each one of us? But in order to know what His plans are, we have to read and follow His directions. You know, and so we can also do that by coming to church and coming to Sunday school and children's church and listening and obeying. But we need to read God's word and follow His directions. So will y'all follow God's plan?
Yes.
Yes. And live a life for Him and do what is right and pleasing to Him?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Well, we're going to say a prayer. Daniel, you want to come?
No, thank you.
No, thank you. Okay. All right. Well, let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, and we thank You that You have given us plans and directions for our lives, that we can know what we are to do and to walk in Your truth and in Your love. And Lord, we thank You for these boys and girls that are here today, and help us as we learn about You and grow and know who You are and how much You love us. We give You all the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Here, would you carry this for me?
No, thank you. Jeff asked me to pray every Sunday. Is that what all it takes? All I have to do is say no, thank you. And well, welcome to worship this morning. Once again, for those of you joining us online, great to have you with us. If you want to register your attendance through our app, that would be helpful. I wanted to remind everyone we have 3 more Wednesday nights for the summer, and then we'll take a 3 or 4 week break and start back with the fall semester. So 3 more Wednesday nights. The house that we were able to provide for Margaret and Domingo is complete. They should be moving in early this week. And they were out of church this Sunday. They're traveling, and they said they would like to come next Sunday. We're going to spend some time praying over them and blessing them as they move forward. The Houses for Healing leadership team is going down Wednesday. We're just going to pray over the house and take some pictures. So we're going to celebrate with that family next week. And God bless you, church, for helping to make that happen. There's an insert in your bulletin about the ladies' Bible study, the 4-week Bible study that will be on Tuesday night starting on July 19th. Be sure to check that out. I think that'll be a good time for you all to be together and sit under some really strong teaching. And then on the 24th, there's an all-church meeting. Our pastor is going to update us on the denominational decisions, and that'll be something that we would all want to attend. So if you're able, let's stand and affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We have a couple of events going on this week. Our youth are traveling to Oklahoma City to do some mission work for the week. Also, our elementary kids are going to Camp Butman for a camp this week. Marvin, Diane, and Gregory lead that camp. We have several in our church who are also serving as sponsors there. I don't know if any of y'all are in the sanctuary or not. Most of them are back chasing the kids around. I'm not quite sure how many kids we have. Excuse me. I think maybe 11 of our children are going. And pardon me? 11? Okay. So I want to pray over those two groups, or pray for those two groups this morning. And Brent, if you don't mind coming up with your team and any youth that are going, we just want to bless you guys' efforts. And if there's any children that may be going to elementary camp or adults involved in that, we'd love for you to come up as well. Half of their group is helping the children, so awesome. Parents, you want to come up? If your child is up, you want to come up as well? Tandy, you want to come join your children? Yeah, I don't know if y'all realize this. This could be life-changing. Could be life-changing. Holy Spirit touches something, things happen, things change. I tell you what, if y'all want to come up and lay a hand on one of these, please feel free to do that. Let's bless them really good. Yeah, try to circle up, huddle up if you can. The outside goes this direction. Best we can. So, Father, we thank you for opportunities to encounter you. And Lord, it's good to be in church. It's good to be in Sunday school. It's good to be in a Bible class. Lord, it's also good sometimes just to do other things like serve you, go to camp. And Lord, this could be life-changing for everyone standing in this circle. And Lord, I pray for that. I pray for that. God, your promise is you always go before us. So Lord, that tells me that you're already at work in Oklahoma City. You're laying the groundwork. And Lord, you've arranged encounters there with other people. You've arranged opportunities for them to serve and touch other people. And so, Lord, as they reach out and touch, God, I pray that they're touched by you. Lord, help them not to miss you in Oklahoma City. And, Lord, I pray for that community. They're just barely scratching the surface in regard to what they do this week. But I pray for that community, Lord, that there's far-reaching effects from their visit there this week. So bless them. I pray for safe travel for them, God, coming and going. Watch over them, Lord. Bless them. And God, I pray for these young ones that are going to elementary camp this week. And Lord, it is fun. There's high energy stuff going on, but Lord, I pray at the very core of what happens, I pray, God, that their little hearts are touched deeply. And they know without a doubt, Jesus, you are good. I pray for Marv and Diane and the other workers, those who are going from our church to serve, Lord. I pray that you touch them as they serve. And Lord, we just thank you again for these opportunities. Oh, you're such a good God, such a good Father. And I pray that you father these this week in a deep and profound way. Lord, we thank you for opportunities to pray. We pray the prayer of Jesus you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, everybody, of our giving opportunities. We have offering boxes by each exit. Also, you can give electronically in church. Thank you so much for your faithfulness.
To reach out to a hurt and broken world. And sometimes we don't know what to do. Where's the best place to turn? To Scripture. Jesus says, They will know me by your love for one another. So the answer to the problems of the world begins here now, with you where you are, with me where I am, worshiping with all my heart, pouring myself out to the living God and saying, I'm broken and I want you to change me from the inside out because I cannot do it. And then at the same time, we would love each other in a radical way in this building, that people would be beating down the doors to share in that unity, to share in that love. That is what the church is called to be. One body, the representation of Christ, the body of Christ on earth. They will know us by our love for one another. And so I say, if the world's broken, then we blame ourselves for not being the body of Christ. We don't blame the broken for being broken. But there is a Savior, and there is a name that is powerful to break every single chain. It's not a limiting chain. There's not a chain that's more powerful than the name of Jesus. But it is overcome by the love of God. The Spirit of God alone will break these chains. This morning, I got chains, and I'm just admitting that. I got chains in my life, and maybe you do too, and we're supposed to have them, but we're not supposed to continue to carry them. So this morning, let's do some chain breaking, right? But actually not us. Let's pray for the living God to do some chain breaking in this place this morning, all right? Love you, church. And that love doesn't come from me, it comes from God above. And it's not that I didn't love you, but I just want you to know that the power doesn't come from you, your flesh, but the power to do righteous living is from the Spirit of God alone. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to do something radical in our hearts. Let's believe that this moment changes things. The more we press into God, the more we ask Him to move, the more He's going to move. So let's sing it out. There's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Let's actually, there's an army rising up. There's an army of love, of Spirit-filled believers rising up to break every chain.
There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. Well, there's an army rising up to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain,
Good morning again. Glad you're here. I hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. You feel His Spirit this morning? I certainly do. I'm glad that you are here, especially if you are our guest. We hope you feel His Spirit. We hope you feel that love. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you. It has a blue stripe that says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out, but you certainly don't have to do that. But at the end of the service, I would love to meet you. I'll be out at this end of the foyer and have a free gift for our guests, and would love to meet you and get to know you a little bit. We like guests here. We like guests that become part of the family. So I hope that will be you. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 3. Now, I was harassing my co-worker, Billy Krim, this morning. Billy's been leading a men's Bible study. They've been going through Acts, and they're on Acts chapter 10 now, right, Billy? Yeah, and I believe y'all did Acts chapter 3. We decided it was like 2019 when you started there. Was that right? But he's moving slowly, absorbing. It's good stuff. Acts chapter 4 is going to be the meat today, but I want to set this up. I want to set Acts chapter 4 up with reading a few verses from Acts chapter 3. So if you'll follow me, verse 1. Now, set this up. Jesus has gone to the cross. He's been resurrected. He's ascended back to the Father. He has sent His Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and the church has been launched. Verse 1, chapter 3. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried at the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And Peter said, "Silver or gold, I don't have. But what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them to the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Wouldn't you like to have seen that? Then, verse 16, Peter said to the men of Israel that's witnessing all this, "By faith," he says, "in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see has known was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see." Now we're going to skip over to Acts chapter 4. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. Now, they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Now, I find that, first of all, disgusting, and second of all, surprising. You know, you would think that they would be rejoicing. They've seen this guy's been begging at the gate for all these years, and they see him now dancing and praising and jumping around, proclaiming Jesus as his healer. And they're greatly disturbed. They seized Peter and John. And because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. And Annas, the high priest, was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them, began to question them, "By what power or what name do you do this?" Then Peter, don't you know Peter was chomping at the bits. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected. He has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else. I think I want to read that again. Salvation is found in no one else, for it is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see, it's like, man, it's like right in front of you. There's, what are you going to do? But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. Love to have been a bug on the wall. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everybody living in Jerusalem knows they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading, how? Oh man, that's awful. We got to stop this thing. To stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourself whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of your spirit. Thank you for the power of your name. And we pray now that, Father, maybe it's just me, but nobody wants to hear from me. We want to hear from you. As Cody was saying to us earlier, challenging us, Father, to let something happen, to let you radically change us. So, Holy Spirit, come and speak radically in power and authority. Transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So today I'm continuing the sermon series one, and today's message is one name, and I'm going to dive right into this name. The first thing I want us to hear is the name of Jesus has absolute power. Jesus himself said it this way: "I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son of Man may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it." Now, he's not talking about, there's nothing magical about this compilation of these five letters that spell out the name Jesus. There's nothing magical about the name in and of itself. What's magical is the power that comes from the person Jesus. Who he is, what he has accomplished on our behalf. That's the power. It's not just in this, you know, I could have a child and name that child Jesus, and there would be no power in that. But with this Jesus, with Jesus the Christ, there is power. There's absolute power. Philippians 2, one of my favorite passages, just if you'll read like the first 12 verses or so of Philippians 2, powerful, powerful. Picking up in verse 8, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, what's therefore? Therefore. Hello, is this on? Anybody out there? Steve, is this on? Everybody hear me all right? It's therefore, you go back and see what it's there for. He's saying that since Jesus has humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross, since he died for us, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Now listen to this. This is important, church. At the name of Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Christ, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In heaven, he's talking about the celestial beings. When Jesus is mentioned, they got to hit their knees. And so in heaven and on earth, for us, God is allowing us a little freedom right now. But there's going to come a day when every knee will bow on this earth. And under the earth, speaking of even the demonic forces, Satan and his demonic forces, when the name of Jesus is mentioned, they got to hit their knees. That's important, church. We'll talk more about it in a second. I shared this in the early service, and I'm going to share it a high-level version of this story, because in all honesty, if I told the exact details of this encounter, it would probably freak a few of us out. But I'm going to give you the high-level version of this. When I was transitioning to the ministry, and Cheryl and I were going through that phase, there was a few months there. I was doing some contract computer work, and I was kind of, in all honesty, wasn't working that much. And one day, Cheryl got up, and the girls were young, and she got up and took them to school, and she had some things to do. And so I'm laying there in bed, and I'm. You ever have one of those? You kind of halfway, you know, in and out. You know, you're awake, but you're just not fully awake. And I felt the presence in the room. And again, I'm not going to go into all these kinds of details, but I knew in my spirit, I knew that something wasn't right. And I tried to pray in the name of Jesus, leave me alone. And so I went to say those words verbally, and again, high level without all the details, I could not get words out of my mouth. And whatever this was did not want me to call on the name of Jesus. So in my mind, it's all I had left. I didn't have a voice. In my mind, I said, in the name of Jesus, leave me alone. And immediately, I was freed up. Immediately, I was freed up. In all honesty, freaked me out. Freaked me out. But I learned, first of all, I learned that we have an enemy. He didn't want what Cheryl and I were doing. He didn't want us to walk that path. And so I believe I was trying to be intimidated by the enemy. But here's the good news. There is no weapon that's formed against me that will prosper in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. We have not, and it's not just this physical power, like, hey, we can go around and go, hey, I want it to rain. Oh, in the name of Jesus, it's gonna just, you know. No, we part of it is just that relationship, that seeking the Lord. And when we talk about being in the name of Jesus, it's being in harmony with Him. I've wondered, you know, this crippled man was healed in the name of Jesus. And then I've prayed for people who are sick, and I've seen healing, miraculous, medically documented healing. And I've also seen cases where the ultimate healing was someone goes to be with Jesus. And I have questions. Someday the Lord will make all those things clear. But I know this. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's spiritual power. And the power doesn't come from those five letters. The power comes from who Jesus is and what He's done for us. Secondly, the name of Jesus saves. The name of Jesus saves. And again, I talked about this some last week, but with the message, but to even refer to somebody needing to be saved means we're lost. Yes? I mean, it means we're lost, we're broken, that sin has separated us from the Father, and we need a Savior. Well, the name of Jesus saves. Matthew chapter 1, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. What is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Right there, we're associating that name with salvation. I love the book of John. If you're trying to get started in God's Word, a lot of times I'll direct people to the Gospel of John, just as an opening book to start with. But I love it because John was one of the disciples. He was eyewitnesses of these things he's writing about. And towards the end of two times, towards the end of that Gospel, he makes reference to the fact that, you know, I can't even write down all the stuff Jesus did. And he says in chapter 20, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. We may have life in His name by believing on Him. And he goes on, John, at the very end of the gospel, says again, it's like, if all these, Jesus did so many things, if I was trying to write it down, there's not enough libraries to hold the books that it would fill. Jesus was busy. Romans chapter 10, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The passage we read today out of Acts chapter 4, salvation, there it is, we need to be saved. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. We need to be saved, and a good life doesn't do it. Hello, is this on? Steve, is this still on? A good life doesn't do it. And I, for the risk of being offensive, believing in Muhammad doesn't do it. Trying to earn our way to God doesn't do it. All these other faiths and stuff where you're trying to raise yourself up. But Jesus reached himself down through Jesus. The name of Jesus. Salvation is found in no one else. If we are lost, if we are in need of salvation, God's word is saying, this is our only hope. The name of Jesus. So Jesus, there's power in the name of Jesus, and Jesus says, and then finally, the third point I want to make is the name of Jesus is to be wielded by his people. Now, I don't use that word very often. Wielded means like this weapon that you're utilizing, that you're... It is a spiritual weapon. You know what else is a spiritual weapon? It's right here. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit is how Scripture refers to itself. The sword of the Spirit is the only offensive weapon of what we know as the armor of God. Everything else is defensive. The helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and on. All of those things are defensive symbolisms. But the sword of the Spirit is an offensive weapon. The name of Jesus is to be wielded by his people. And Acts chapter 19. Okay, I love this passage. Not many times do I crack up reading God's word, but I crack up reading this right here. So let's crack up together. Acts chapter 19. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. So they're saying, I really don't know this Holy Spirit, but Paul seems to have good luck with him. So we're going to, that guy right there, so that name that Paul says, I command you to come out in that name. Seven sons of Sceva, the chief priest, Jewish chief priest, were doing this, these seven brothers. One day the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you? Don't you love that? Even getting mocked by a demon, now that's some serious stuff right there. Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. So it's not just this where we go through this task of, well, yeah, I know how to say Jesus. I can pray in the name of Jesus. Do we know him? The demons know him. The demons want to know if we know him. It's like, I know Paul. I know this Jesus, and who are you again that is commanding, giving me commands? The name of Jesus is to be wielded by his people, you and I. We must know him. And when we do know him, we have power in his name. And that song, that beautiful worship song that we sang, to break every chain. Cody, good word. There's we have these chains that... Every one of us, we're struggling with something. You know, it may be, I remember one time I was working a walk to Emmaus, and there was a service where people were kind of confessing their sins. And I mean, guys were like, you know, I killed 14 people last month. And I mean, they're serious stuff. I mean, I'm kidding about that, but serious stuff. And they were confessing some, man, I've been unfaithful to my wife. I've been on drugs. I've been done all these horrible things. And this one guy that was very mature in his walk with the Lord, you know what he confessed? Lord, I put the newspaper in front of you on every morning. Powerful prayer. I prioritize the newspaper over you. That convicted me. I'm like, ooh. And break every chain that God would want us to be. He came for to set us free. In the name of Jesus, he came to set us free, to break those bonds that we have, that the chains of, it could be more serious than that. It could be unfaithfulness. It could be pornography. It could be lying, cheating. It could be stealing from your company. I mean, it could be all sorts of things that the Lord wants to break those chains. He wants us to have freedom in the name of Jesus. And there's power in that name. Spiritual power, and we should wield it, church, as an offensive spiritual weapon. I want to invite the praise team to come back up, and if you would bow your heads with me. Father, really, truth be told, Lord, I haven't even scratched the surface of what you offer us through faith in your name. I haven't even begun to dig down into all that you offer us. But Lord, I know there's power in your name. I know you love us. And there's power in your name because you're God. Because you died for us to set us free. Father, if there's anybody in this church today that doesn't know you in that way, would you send your Holy Spirit and convict their hearts right now? Jesus, you said you stand at the door and you knock. And if we come and we open the door, that you'll come and you'll sit down and you'll dine with us and you'll have relationship with us. And that's what we want. That's what we need. Thank you for the precious name of Jesus. As the great old hymn says, there's something about that name. It's a precious name. A powerful name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. So we bow our knees to you now. Thank you for who you are and what you've done, how you love us. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. I invite you to rise if you're able as we close with this worship song. We're going to do a baptism. You know, we prayed over camp and mission trip, some young people involved in that today. Our senior high camp from a couple of weeks ago, we're baptizing one of the senior highs this morning. Because Jesus saved his soul on the hill of Butman Camp. Isn't that awesome? So that's good news, yeah. And I also want to remind you that at the end of the service, there will be, I believe Debbie and Robert Beals are our prayer leaders today, will be here if you would like some prayer after the service as we worship.
Jesus, till every dark addiction starts to break.
Come on in. Watch step there while we're waiting. All right, right there, just in the field. Hang on just a second. We'll get everybody up here. All right. Exciting day, huh? Are you ready? Okay, we talked this past week, Caleb, about what you're doing, what God has already done for you, and what you have accepted and received. And so I ask you these questions we've talked about. The first is that we're all sinners, and so God would just ask you, do you admit and confess that you are a sinner?
Yes.
And do you want Jesus to forgive you of your sin?
Yes.
And you want him to live inside of you and be your Lord and your Savior?
Yes.
Amen. And you want to be baptized? Okay, if you'll sit right there, Dad's going to help me out here. Grab in there, Dad, and if you'll hold your nose, Caleb, so you don't get a brain full of water. Caleb, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm going to get that. We don't want your bangs to not be saved. Stay right there. All right, if y'all scrunch in there, if you can put a hand on Caleb. Caleb, we talked also about how that God sends His Holy Spirit to live inside of us, not just be with us, but to be inside of you. And so we're going to pray that prayer, okay? All right, Lord, thank you for Jesus. We talked about the power in that name, just the love in that name. Thank you, Father, that you died for Caleb and that you love him so much and that he loves you back. I pray, God, that you would fill him with your Spirit, that from the top of his head to the tip of his toes, God, that he would ooze Jesus everywhere he goes, that people would see different things in him, that he would be a shining light for you, Jesus. Bless this family, Father. We trust you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you'll, yes, you can dry off, Mr. Brother Caleb. All right, I'm going to get my scripture here. I want to, if you'll rise for this benediction. Jesus humbled himself even to death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Do we bow our knees to him? In heaven and on earth and under the earth, to the glory of God the Father. Go and tell us. That's good news. Go and tell someone, church. God bless you. Thanks, buddy. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.